We present My Music, a musical panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Shrine. And here to introduce the teams is Steve Race.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure to introduce My Music from the stage of the Town Hall in Cheltenham, where we're part of the famous Cheltenham International Festival of Music, though a couple of our company might be more familiar sight at the Cheltenham Gold Cup. Which ones I mean, I leave to you as I introduce John Amis, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. We begin with some martial music and the simple question, who exactly is doing the marching? John Amis, who or what is marching here?
I think it's some small Marions, isn't it?
The title.
Golden, leaden...
Well, no, it's just something of a marionette.
Oh, march.
What sort of march, do you know? Sad one.
Little march.
No, funeral march of a marionette.
Oh,
and the, funeral march.
Yes, and the composer?
Gounod. He was born on the same day as I was, but not the same year.
He gets you a mark anyway, because it was the march of a marionette. Frank, precisely who did this march?
Sounds like the Durham Light Infantry.
Actually, on that record, it's the Gurkhas, but yeah, that's no sort of clue to the question.
No, it's marching through Georgia.
Yes, that's right.
So Nechanella.
Whose troops?
It would be the North, wouldn't it? Because they burnt Atlanta.
General's name?
Sherman.
Yes, General Sherman. 1864, they march across Georgia to the sea. It is the South's most hated song, I'm told, to this day. You get the mark. Ian, you and Mrs. Wallace may have marched to this, but who were the original marchers? Co-stars in the original production?
Well, the co-stars in the original production were a chap called Lohengrin and a girl called Elsa.
Yes.
But I don't think that, to the introduction to your question, that my wife and I might have gone up the aisle to that. I don't think any opera singer would be likely to choose that particular wedding march because, in fact, they... In the opera, they are not exactly marching up the aisle.
No.
They've rather...
It's not quite the simile one is after,
A little ahead of events there.
Didn't end very happily anyway.
No. Well, what are they doing? What were they doing?
I cannot believe that a man of your imagination, Frank, is not ahead of me.
Well, you don't... Whatever it is, you don't march to it.
No, you might march towards it, that's all.
I shall draw a bridal veil over this and... press on. Dennis, who marched to this?
Well, Dennis. To that specifically, I would say just most of the British Army.
Well, yes, but, you know, I have a particular...
Oh.
Don't I?
Yes,
mind.
You mean the because there was a counter... Wasn't there a sort of counter melody when Malcolm Arnold did it?
Thing, yes, that's right.
The soldiers in the Bridge Over the River Choir, as soon as they got within sight of Japanese when they were marching back to camp, and they whistled.
That's right, under Alec Guinness's direction. Yeah, that's right. Mark to you. Everybody's got a mark in that first round. Let's see how well you can identify operas... from a resume of the last thing that happens in them before the curtain falls. I'm quoting in this round from an old book of opera synopses. John, I quote, and this is the end. When he refuses to remain with her and marches forth with the crusaders, she sets fire to her palace and perishes in the flames.
Cool.
It's tough, but then you're a professional music man.
Is it by Verdi?
No, earlier. I think I could tell you the composer, at any rate, for half a mark.
Could you?
Gluck.
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 Gluck. Gluck. Gluck. Gluck. Is it one of the Iphigenias? No.
No, sets fire to her palace and perishes in the flames. I don't think I can give you the mark, can I, Hen? Armide is the answer.
Fancy that.
Fancy that. Yes.
I have a little list of opening sentences, and John has just justified one in The Listener. I forget who it was. They wrote on the music page, and the opening sentence was, Gluck is a hard taskmaster.
You find that.
It's justified.
I suppose grand opera with words could be called Gluckenspiel.
Oh, yes. Yes. Frank, it's your turn. And this is, again, this is the last thing that happens in an opera, according to this particular book.
No problem.
Wings spring from their shoulders, and away everybody flies to fairyland.
Flying Dutchman. No, Magic Flight.
Not quite. Magic Flight, no. No.
No idea.
Somebody over the other side knows.
Billy Budd.
See, and humming. Humming a hint.
Could you hum it? Words. Eponymously. Eponymous words.
If you go in, you're sure to win.
Yes. I'll give you a clue, shall I? Yeah. With the song. Iolanthe, Jonty, Iolanthe. It's more your sort of clue,
yeah,
I think.
Jonty.
Yeah, Jonty. I won't give you a mark. You're right, it's Iolanthe. No marks, though, to you. Ian, again, the end. The glorious quack climbs into his golden chariot, his herald blows a blast, and the doctor departs as magnificently as he had come.
Yes.
You look as though you know this.
Yes, yeah. I do. I'm not thinking of the departure of the doctor at the end of this opera, which is presumably Elisia d'Amore of Donizetti, Dr. Dulcamara. The very first time that I played in this opera was for Glyndebourne Touring Opera in Newcastle. And in their production, Dr. Dulcamara made his first appearance in not a very glorious coach, a rather sort of glorified caravan pulled by a donkey. And the one they chose was very miscast, because on the first night, he brought this thing on about 3 feet and dug all his 4 feet into the ground, and he wouldn't move. And I had to start my aria miles back the stage, facing the wings, completely in the dark. And I saw somebody from the lighting department carrying, running round with a light, with a flex, and focusing it on me where I was at the back. Yeah. And it was not surprising that one of the critics the next day said, Ian Wallace's Dulcamara improved after a shaky start.
The donkey's fault. Dennis, yours is a difficult one. It's the end of an opera. All join in a prayer that Switzerland may continue to be free.
Well, it isn't Porgy and Bess.
No, it's not the sound of music.
No, that's Austria, anyway, the sound of music.
Don't dangle.
Why don't you tell us?
William Tell.
Yeah. Oh, William Tell. Yes. I didn't even know there was an opera.
You were just playing
William
Tell, along, weren't you? Yeah. It's William Tell.
I was very slow there.
Yeah. You're one of the few people who scored a mark in that opera round, Dennis. Let's try another set of questions. There's what might be called a fellow festival nearby, held in rotation at the cathedrals of Worcester, Gloucester and Hereford. I refer, of course, to the Three Choirs Festival. Some of the finest English music was first heard there, notably compositions, of course, by Sir Edward Elgar. Here, indeed, is the start of Elgar's Second Symphony.
Thank you.
which I, for one, could listen to all night and sometimes have. John, when was the Three Choirs Festival founded? And I'll allow you 50 years error either way.
Well, I don't think anybody really knows, because I once did a program about this, and the whole thing seemed shrouded in mystery.
I've got
they
two dates.
They invented a date and stuck to it for last year, which was the 250th anniversary,
well,
they said. But I'm not convinced that it
well,
really was.
Fair enough. You get the mark, certainly, because the received date, as far as I'm concerned, is 1724. But in its primitive form, whatever that may mean, 1715. So you've certainly got the mark. Anyway, round about that century, let us
and
say.
And I'll be the toss, as usual.
Yes. Primitive
why
form,
ever not.
His primitive form, they used to sing smutty songs.
Yes. Frank, it's your turn. Here is a snatch of music by Phyllis Tate.
I was 16 and as smooth as a bee, a red-headed man made a fool out of me, of me. We went for a walk in the side-slipping wood, though the spinsters declared he was up to no good, up to no good, no good.
Frank. I want to know the name of the red-headed man.
No.
I cannot do
I don't think even she knows it, actually, the singer. Frank, for this Cheltenham Festival, of which we are a humble part, Phyllis Tate has set to music three poems by Rudyard Kipling. One of them is The Absent-Minded Beggar, which actually mentions two English songs by name. Which songs do you know? How's your Kipling?
Because and Until.
Now that's very interesting, because John has got two marks out of two, and since I'm not in a position to know whether those two words appear in the Absent-Minded Beggar, you of course must have two marks as well. It's the kind of question I try very hard not to ask, but occasionally you get the marks. Do you know a Kipling quotation that mentions two English songs in a couple of adjacent lines?
Not immediately.
When you've shouted Rule Britannia, when you've sung God Save the Queen, when you've finished killing Kruger with your mouth. That comes from The Absent-Minded Beggar, but you have got two rotten marks. Well done. Ian, we are not far from the ancient and beautiful city of Bath. This music comes from a ballet called Love in Bath. Ian, what can you tell me about Love in Bath?
It was music of Handel arranged for this opera
ballet,
by Sir Thomas
ballet.
Beecham.
Ballet, not opera.
Ballet, I mean. And it was about Sheridan.
Yes, Sheridan's elopement with Elizabeth Linley. That's right, the ballet Love in Bath. Beecher, Handel Beecham, arranged Beecham. Dennis, your question? Here's a familiar enough voice.
The old mine herd go down, looking eastward to the sea. There's a burly girl a-sitting, and I know she thinks of me.
You've got your working class accent on, Ian, haven't you, for that? Anyway, Dennis, it is back to Kipling for you. A two-part question, and no help from Ian, please. What are the paddles doing, and what does the dawn come up like?
Oh,
you can hear the paddles.
Yeah. It's where the old flotilla lay.
That's that where it is, yes.
You can hear the paddles chunking.
That's right. And the dawn?
And the dawn comes up like thunder. We know that because we once stayed somewhere, Frank and I, where we had to write in a visitor's book, and we wrote that the brawn came up like thunder.
I'm going to play on the piano here four snatches of music, four pieces of music that have question titles, like, for instance, Who is Sylvia? Or Where is Love? Or Why do the Nations? In each case, I want the title first, and then there's a supplementary question. So, John, your question first. What
is this.
I think it's a piece that during the First World War wasn't allowed to be called Warum,
yes,
but was called Pourquoi.
Yes.
And it was by Robert Schumann.
Yes. For your second mark, what is it from, Schumann's?
Schumann's Kindersinn.
No, it's a rather fantastic piece, actually.
Fantastic piece. Kreisleriana.
Fantasiestück.
Fantasiestück.
Yes. One and a half.
Dummy.
What? One and a half out of two.
Yes.
Yes, right. Question song again. Frank, this is from the middle of something. The title of the song is a question.
I don't know. Does that seem a fair answer? Can I trade one mark or whatever I've
got? No, let me ask the audience. Anybody know what that song's called? What's the use of wondering?
You didn't play that.
No, I played the middle bit.
I know that. What's the use of wondering?
Well, never mind. You've still got the chance of one mark, though, because this, the other, for your other mark...
Rodgers and Hammerstein.
No. What is the very last line of that song?
And it's the opposite of Hamlet, isn't it?
Yes, that's right.
Instead of the rest is silence, all the rest is talk.
And all the rest is talk. You've got a mark. Would the gentleman who answered like to give Frank his mark... No, he wouldn't. All right, we'll press on. Right. Another question song. Ian, what is this called? Title?
I never know whether this is a song about Sussex.
Yes.
Oh, who will all the downs so free?
Oh, who will with me ride? Yes. In the song, Ian, what have the girl's father and mother done, respectively?
Oh, this is not a song I've ever sung, but I've heard choirs sing it on the same bill. There's something about locking the door and keeping the key.
That's right. Her father, he has locked the door. Her mother keeps the key.
Ah,
yes. You've got full marks there.
Very difficult to get out on the downs so free under those circumstances.
Yes, it is. Dennis, another question song. This one is for you. Again, it's a middle bit. Question. You know the title?
No. Oh yes. Aren't you glad you're you? Mm. I'm sorry, yes.
I think you had have prompting,
I had
so I think half a mark there. You can get a mark, though, if you can tell me either who wrote the song or which film it was in.
Bells of St. Mary,
yes,
Ingrid
that's
Bergman.
Right. You've got the mark. Bing Crosby film, Burke and Van Heusen are the songwriters concerned. Many important musical works have been first performed at one or another of these Cheltenham festivals. Also, many unimportant musical works have been first performed. Never mind. I'm going to play you some music which was first heard by the public in this very hall that we're in. And I'll then ask you what title each of the four of you would have given to it if you had been the composer. John, you first. What would be a good title for that?
Symphony number one?
No. I think you get half a mark out of one. You'll discover later why.
I think the music's by Alan Rawsthorne.
Do you? Yes. Anyway, title, Symphony number one, gets you, half a mark. Frank, what would you call that?
The nervous and furtive first movement.
Yes, rather nice, actually, yes. Give you a mark, I think, Ian?
I think I would have called it Lost in the Woodwind.
Very nice, yes.
Gone with the...
Dennis, if you had composed that, what would you have called it?
I would have called it, if I had composed it, I would have come straight out and called it Unimportant Musical Work.
Yes. How very depressing to know that anything you wrote would be. Well, I don't know how many bonus marks I'm going to give John, but it was by Alan Rawsthorne. Brilliant work, John, spotting it. But it wasn't his first symphony. It was first performed here in 1964. It was from his third symphony. I think of one bonus mark, don't you, for that audience. By tradition, we always end my music with some singing, as each contestant offers a party piece. Since they all get maximum marks, it makes no difference whatever to the final score, which I'll give at the end. John, I will give you a chord with the note C on the top. Will you please give us a stanza of Tchaikovsky's None But the Lonely Heart?
The chord.
None but the lonely heart can know my sadness, alone and far apart from joy and gladness. Alone and parted far from joy. Senses fail, a burning fear devours me. None but the lonely heart can know my sadness.
Yeah. Frank, after you had recalled just a snatch of it in one of our earlier programmes, we had several requests, all in identical handwriting, for you for you to sing Transatlantic Lullaby. It's a lovely song.
Ship to ship and shore to shore, the waters make a shining floor and hum a transatlantic lullaby. The sky is silky dark, it's cool in Central Park, the trolley cars go clanging past. The busy day is done, the lights fade one by one, and Broadway goes to bed at last. Tomorrow seems a distant dream, and still the rocking waters gleam and hum a sleepy transatlantic lullaby.
Dennis, from you, please, a waltz tune of 1934 about how you taught Miss Susanna to play the piano.
Oh, what it entails is you helping me by... I noticed you did a bit of it in Frank's song, a kind of brum brum, yes, in the right place. That's it, okay. I taught her how to play, to play, to play. I taught her how to play, and now we can play a duet. For hours and hours I sit with Susanna and watch her practice on the piano. I taught her how to play. I wish she had taught me to sing.
Ian, James Hogg, 1770 to 1835, was a considerable songwriter. He wrote The Young Chevalier. He wrote Will You Know Come Back Again, lovely song. He also wrote your brief party piece this week, My Love She's But a Lassie Yet. What sort of tempo are you going to take this? I shall steam along in your wake.
Give him some grunts. My love, she's but a lassie yet. My love, she's but a lassie yet. We'll let her stand a year or two. She'll maybe half say saucy yet. I rule the day I socked her, oh. I rule the day I socked her, oh. Oh, yet sir needn't say he's good, but he may say he's mocked her, oh. My love, she's but a lassie yet. My love, she's but a lassie yet. We'll let her stand a year or two. She'll maybe half say saucy yet. We're all dry with a drinking out. We're all dry with a drinking out. The minister kissed the fiddler's wife. He couldn't preach for thinking out. My love, she's but a lassie yet. My love, she's but a lassie yet. We'll let her stand a year or two. She'll maybe half say saucy yet.
And that's all, I'm afraid. A victory, despite all my best efforts, a victory for Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race and the program was produced by Tony Schreiner.